What is up, guys? It's Jerry with Sheepdog Ops. We are doing this thing one more time. We're doing this is our third episode as far as video goes, so this is pretty awesome. I'm pretty stoked about it. We actually have Ryan back on for you guys who've been following our podcast and everything like that. Ryan was our first episode where we actually had a guest on. So this is really awesome because back then, if you haven't listened to it, you need to go back and listen to it. We talked about goal setting. We talked about planning. We talked about a whole thing because at the time he was getting ready to do what he's now accomplished, but he was getting ready to do an Ironman, which is an extremely daunting task if you ask me. And I'm excited because Ryan's super stoked about this, actually. We've been talking about it for, what, 20 minutes now? 30 minutes? So I'm kind of actually stoked to hear the stories all over again because the passion and everything, that drive that comes with this guy right here is amazing. So Ryan, I want to give you the opportunity to kind of give yourself a brief little background. People can go back to that first episode if they want to know a little bit more in depth about it. And then we'll get right into it.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for having me on. I really do appreciate it. My name is Ryan Seely. I do run 50 Cal Fitness. You can find me on Instagram or Facebook under either 50 Cal Fitness or Ryan Seely. You can look me up on my personal page too. But I was on the first episode and we were able to talk about the Ironman. And I'm just so ecstatic because this is the first time I've got to actually talk to people since I've completed what was at that time just thought, you know, I looked at it as a challenge, and now it's in the rearview mirror. So it's an amazing day. I'm excited to be on here, and I appreciate you having me on. So, I mean, it's unbelievable.
No, we love having you, Ryan. And I know we got some cool stuff that we're going to talk about when we get to the end of this, but just briefly, what have you done? I know you were military. You did a little bit of medic stuff. Just touch base with a couple of those things, and then we'll hit right into it because this started last week, and I'm stoked to hear it.
Yeah, I was a medic in the United States Army. I was I was deployed to Iraq. I was with 2-3 Cav, and then I came back to California where I continued to serve with the National Guard out of San Mateo. Now I'm out, but proud of all my service time and what I did. And now I do a lot of fitness things and mental preparation kind of tactics. And I try to help people accomplish their own goals by using similar techniques and things I use in my training that we can kind of tailor to their specific needs. But other than that, man, I'm still on cloud nine. So,
all right. So we're going to get right into it basically here. That's Ryan's background. I'm telling you guys, if you really want to know a little bit more about him, we went into a lot more depth in that first episode. So go back. It's only on Anchor or on battlerattle.com. So go check that out. But let's get into this. So what day did you start last week when you started this whole Ironman thing?
The race itself?
No. Let's from day one when you showed up to, where was it at again?
So this was the Ironman in Santa Rosa, and I'll briefly explain for those who don't know. Ironman was a 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike ride, and then 26.2-mile run, triathlon. So I went up to Santa Rosa on Wednesday morning, and the race was Saturday morning at 6:40 was the gun time, you know, with the cannon go off, but I was up at 3:15. So it's a much earlier start for the athletes than you think, because we have to catch shuttles and there's a lot of moving parts in the morning just to prepare for a 6:40 start.
Oh, absolutely. So how does that work as far as checking? Because obviously you showed up on Wednesday. You're running into people that maybe you know or don't know. You've got to talk to a lot of these people and get to know them. How does that work out for you as far as talking to these people who are doing the same thing and are trekking out the same endeavor?
Well, I mean, it was amazing because so I got there Wednesday. Being my first Ironman, I wanted to get there kind of as early as possible, really, to take in as much information as I can, because in my mind, I got 3 days or so to intake everything that's going on to formulate a game plan, you know, along with all my training and what I've already laid out. I want to get as much information as I can to get the best kind of game plan I can for Saturday based on hearing, you know, previous people's experiences, where they're coming from, where their training was, time expectations. I mean, you name it. So we check in Wednesday morning. The first check-in was 9 a.m. So I got there right at 9 a.m. and checked in, and I mean, it's pretty amazing how Ironman has it set up. I mean, it's pretty breezy. You walk through, show your ID, get your packet. I mean, you go from there and you go through this little, it's like a merchandise tent where they have all this Ironman stuff. And I could see why they funnel you through there.
They got to get you to pay for it, right? On top of what you already paid for.
I'm like, come on. But it was funny because I talked to people. And I mean, they were making a killing. And I told people, you know, I would love to have some of that gear, but it's just I'm superstitious a little bit. So I can't buy anything until Sunday because I can't buy any Ironman gear until I'm actually an Ironman. You know, I don't think it would have been right, you know, to jump the gun like that. They had finished and all these hats and everybody's buying stuff, and I'm looking at it like, yeah, hope, you know, but tell you the truth, like, you never know. So I'm not gonna get anything until I finish, till I cross that finish line. Then I could purchase an Ironman shirt, or I can put the Ironman sticker on my truck, you know. I just, that's the way I think. So
little side story here, we were just talking about it before we got on here and started recording, is that the superstition thing runs deep with athletes and people who do anything with sports. That's why I can't watch any of these playoff games for the Sharks this year live. Every time I've watched them, they lost. So tonight I want to. They're starting here in a little while, but I'm just like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm all recorded.
I'll watch for you. Don't worry.
I believe it. I believe you will. You're going to post about it too. I had to, you know, be careful on my Facebook because you're posting about it all the damn time.
I make observations and I put them out there and see if people agree or disagree. I don't know.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. As far as Wednesday. So once you get done with that, then we had briefings, and I actually made the mistake. I thought there was mandatory briefings Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And what actually it is you just have to go to one of the briefings. So they have a lot of athlete briefings. So there was one 9 a.m. 11 a.m. after my 9 a.m. check-in, and then another one at 2. So I thought I had to be at both those, but they were the same briefing. You just have to go to one. So I ended up being up there early in one way, kind of for no reason, but, you know, it worked out. I enjoyed it. But and then Thursday there was a first-timers briefing, which was kind of helpful for all the people that were doing an Ironman for the first time. So other than those two briefings, that was the only briefings I had to go to. But it was full of information, and it was put together real smooth, and it helped me out. I mean, it did. And it helped me formulate the game plan I think I needed.
Well, and that leads kind of into my next question, is because you always obviously had a game plan before you showed up Wednesday, right? And we talked about it when we were on that last podcast. So you have this game plan, and then you turn around and you start going to these briefings that are going to give you more information and more up-close kind of information than you had previously, I'm assuming. How did the mentality and the game plan change for you as far as that goes?
You know, I honestly, in those days leading up to the Ironman, my game plan and my goals didn't change. I guess if you get overwhelmed or something could have happened where I could have easily said, oh, maybe I shot too high. Maybe I made my goals unreachable. Let's lower them. But from what I've seen, what I heard, obviously all the training I put in under similar circumstances, I was very confident that I had it kind of dialed down with the distance I had to do and the times that I'd be able to do. You know, within, I'd say, a 15-minute to – you know, let's say 30-minute range. That's the worst, not the worst, but, you know, saying I was a little slow. But in that, in the kind of fields, I felt very confident that I was going to be able to put together those times in the race. And, you know, I was fortunate to get up there that early Wednesday, because once I found out that those meetings weren't mandatory, Thursday I actually drove the entire bike course. So I was like, all right.
So you had an opportunity to kind of see everything that you were about to see in a couple days. Exactly. And really, put yourself ahead of the game, as it were. Even though when we get into it, we'll talk about that here in a minute. So you get to Friday. What did you do as far as Friday goes? Because obviously you had meetings, you had that opportunity to go to one meeting, realize you don't have to be at all the meetings, and then take the time to understand the course. But Friday, what was the daily schedule there? Because obviously you're getting psyched up. You obviously have to put yourself in a mental ability to say, all right, we're doing this first thing in the morning, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's interesting you bring that up and you say you got to get psyched up, because that's what I had to fight myself the hardest from doing, because Ironman's kind of like the exact opposite of getting yourself hyped up, right? So Friday, after learning about how the structure works, you actually had to go Friday and turn in your bags for transitions. Sorry, I think one of my lights went out. And so once I turned in all my bags, I was done. And I was pretty much on my own until Saturday morning. It was a mental game from there. It was the weight game. How are you going to prepare? You name it, you know. And the Ironman is like a diesel engine running for a long time, opposed from like a dragster. Like, you have to pace yourself. So I didn't want to overthink and overhype myself Friday, which was very hard to do because I'm stepping into the unknown, you know, and I'm like trying. And when I laid down, the hardest thing was I was trying to go to sleep. The one thing that helped me is I had a couple hours of relief because I watched the Warriors playoff game, which that was awesome. So it got my mind off of Iron Man for a little bit and gave me a little bit more motivation for Saturday. But the race itself, right? When I laid down to go to sleep, since I drove the course on Thursday, all I could think about was the bike course. Like, okay, should I pedal this hill hard? Should I pedal that hill hard? Should I coast down this? I mean, it was just – I mean, it was like – I'm like, I'm trying to go to sleep. You know, it's getting later and later and later. My alarm's set for 3 a.m. It's now 10:30, 11, 11:15, 11:30. Come on. I need some sleep. Like, you know. That's how I couldn't go to sleep. I was just laying there, like, you know, and part of me was like, screw it, let's just go. Let's just start it right now. I don't
start it at midnight, I'll be fine. We'll knock it out. I might as well.
Yeah, at this point it is what it is. But I mean, I don't know how much substance I've been able to give the viewer so far. You know, I'm trying to paint a picture. It's just I'm so ecstatic by what happened, and so it's like a euphoric feeling that I think I talked about on the first episode. And
well, and we talked about this as far as athletes go, because, you know, a lot of us are athletes, and, you know, most of the people that reach this community were athletes at some point in their life. So they understand that feeling of you're getting ready for a game, you know, that a Friday night lights situation, or, you know, you're playing basketball for a state championship or playoff game. They understand that concept. And for those sports, it's a little bit different. You can kind of take that and jack it up and say, all right, I'm going to do this because I'm only doing it for 60 minutes. Whereas you're doing this for hours, for a majority of a day, you're doing this entire time, and you can't sit there at that high adrenaline level and be able to perform.
No, definitely. I mean, you're going to shoot your wad, and that's where a lot of people burn out, you know. So I've told, obviously, this is my first one, so I'm not like – the all global experienced Ironman, but I've talked, and now that I've completed one, I feel like I have a little bit of credentials regarding the topic. So
you had credentials before based on all the Spartan races and all the, I'm just going to pick up and run 8 miles. It's no big deal. Don't worry about it. It's Friday and we got to do it tomorrow morning. Nah, no big deal. We'll take care of it.
Well, I guess it's all mental game, right? So, like, that's what the Ironman, I think, really, even looking back at what I did, right, the whole day, in a sense, was still more of a mental struggle for me even than it was a physical struggle, you know? I mean, once we start talking about how the actual race unfolded, you know, I think, you know, viewers obviously will learn about what happened on the run and how I had to finish, but, you know, looking back on it now, I mean, just real quick, like, Saturday I got done. And I immediately was like, I accomplished it, one and done. Like, and already it's been a day and a half, and today I'm like, Ironman 2020. Like, I'm ready. Let's go.
Let's knock it out. We just make sure we got that money set up so we can rock and roll this next thing.
No it's just, I mean, that you know, you can't replace the energy, the feeling, the accomplishment, the self-satisfaction that you get out of doing it. I know it sounds selfish saying that, but I wish so many more people can experience it, you know? And I wouldn't say scared, but I think they doubt their capabilities when it comes to things like this, because it seems so daunting when if you start small and you just start to slowly grow that scale, you'll be amazed by, you know, how fast you can actually yourself become an Ironman. You can finish this course in 16 hours and 59 minutes. That's the time limit you have, and you can call yourself an Ironman. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's almost, you know, 3/4 of a day later, and you can be an Ironman too. So, all right. So we've gone through Wednesday. We're up to Friday. You're trying to sleep. We're at Saturday morning. You get up at, you said 3:15, something like that, you know, in the morning. You're getting ready to turn around and go down to there and finish check-in, whatever you got to do, right?
Yeah.
Where is your mind as you're walking up to this start gate?
Man, so I woke up 3:15, and the first thing I tried not to do is get overwhelmed, because the first thought was, oh, it's race day. So, you know, I got to do 140.6 miles today. Like, it's going to happen. Like, oh, all right. So we have all the, you have one bag. And basically, it's all the bottles and nutrition and everything you're going to put on your bike. So you do that the morning of. Everything else is set up. So you take the shuttle. The first shuttle left at 4:15 heading. It was like a 45-minute shuttle just to where the lake was, because that's where the swim is. So you get on the shuttle to get to the lake. And I wanted to get there as early as I can just to check tire pressure, check, you know, everything on my bike, make sure everything was good to go, because the last thing you want to do is take the last shuttle and have 15 minutes and then you run into a problem and now you're kind of back against the wall, right? Before the race even started, you kind of set yourself up for failure. You know, that's kind of how I looked at it. So I'd rather beat the crowd a little bit, get there as early as I can, make sure everything is good to go.
That whole hurry up and wait thing.
Exactly. Same, you know, military style, you know. Yeah. And that's pretty much what I did, because, I mean, within 15-20 minutes, I pumped my tires to the PSI I wanted. I had my bottles already pre-made the night before, so I threw them on the bike. And then from there, it was just, okay, we beat the masses. Let's just try to mentally prepare as best we can to, in about an hour and a half, what we have to do, because it's you got to get ready. It's crazy. I mean,
well, and I'm assuming it's crazy because you're obviously you're swimming in a lake. Even though it is May, it's probably a touch bit cold at 6 o'clock in the morning. So we're talking, you said 2.4 miles, right, of a swim.
Yes.
You're swimming out and then you're turning around and you're swimming back around.
Yeah. This is actually an Ironman. And then Santa Rosa, it's a 2-lap course. So it goes like in the lake under a bridge back around. And then you loop around this buoy that marks your first lap. You know, and then you do it again. So it's 1.2 mile loops, I guess you would say, Terry Dunn.
All right.
But as far as water temperature, everybody wears a wetsuit. They're covered in speed skin, so it makes you a little faster in the water. One, it obviously helps with the temperature, but two, it's like a mini kind of life jacket. You know, it gives you a little bit more buoyancy. And man, that was maybe the best swim I've ever done in my life. And not on my speed or how I swam, but just the water temp, I was looking up at the bridge, like, cause I didn't want to waste too much energy by trying to swim as hard as I could. So I just found a comfortable rhythm and just enjoyed it. And I mean, it was awesome experience. I just enjoyed it was an hour and 12 minute swim, like just swimming straight for an hour and 12 minutes. And it was an unbelievable experience. I enjoyed every second of it. It was awesome. I loved it.
And don't get me wrong, I used to swim back in the day. I was a swimmer. I know I don't have the swimmer body now anymore, but I used to be a swimmer back in the day. So I get that. I understand that enjoyment of just swimming for a long time. So we used to do long the mile swim and do those kind of things. It's just, I don't know, that seclusion is nice and it's relaxing and you're just kind of taking it all in.
Right. So. Yeah, I was a little bit worried about the swim because I wasn't sure how it was a rolling start, which means you kind of honor system, place yourself in line with all the other competitors based on where you think your swim time will be finished. So if you're going to swim 50 minutes, you're at the front. If you're going to swim an hour and a half, you're towards the back, and everybody kind of slots themselves that way. You know, it's not just a mad mass where you got fast swimmers trying to just trample over the slower swimmers and slower, you know. So it was actually the most safest way they, how they explain it, to launch the swim. And so you're constantly surrounded by swimmers, because you're where I slot myself, everybody around me was about the same ability of a swimmer. So we kind of just each other stayed on each other's hip and just swam. And I mean, I'm not trying to sound cocky, but like the swim was a lot easier than I anticipated. Like I got out of the water, it's like, ah, it's nothing. Like, that's cool. Like, let's do it. Like, I love it. You know, it was awesome.
You can't be upset with that. You know, feeling a little bit confident, cocky over this whole thing and just pumping it out and saying, you know what, this was easy. This was fun. You know, and it's the beginning leg. So that makes sense. You gotta at least build yourself up there and say, you know what, I got this. This is no big deal. I can totally understand that. That's not cocky.
Well, from everything I read, right? Everything I've read to a triathlon, especially an Ironman, they say you can't win a triathlon in the swim. So I could have exerted tons of more effort, and realistically, like if I would have swam it the best I could have, I don't know if I could have broke an hour, but maybe I swim it in an hour, 3 minutes, an hour, 4 minutes. That's still only 8-9 minutes mm-hmm. that I'm safe. When I still got a bike 112 miles, I still have to run 26.2. So the gain there, it's like risk versus reward, right? Like, I'm not going to shoot my wad, especially being my first Ironman. I'm not going to try to pick up 6 minutes in the swim knowing that I still got, you know, what, 138, you know, my point, what, 4 miles to go or something like that. You know, so.
that's the thing. Listen, guys, I'm telling you, this man is insane. The 2.4 miles, he's saying, I'm not going to pick up 8 minutes. He's not lying. He's got another, you know, almost over 135 miles left of this to go before we get to the even close to the finish line. And we're not even at any of the adversity that comes along with this whole thing that you ran into. Which we're about to get into. So you get done with your swim. You said an hour 12, right? Which is still it's really good. And you felt good. You came into the bike, and you had everything prepped up and ready to go. And where were you at? Let's talk about that headspace as soon as you get out of the water. Because did you have a wetsuit, or were you just swim trunk? What was going on?
No, so I race in a tri suit. One piece tri suit, and then over the top of that, I have a sleeveless wetsuit. And so when I came out of the water, the only thing I had to shed was my wetsuit and then hit the transition area. So when I hit the transition area, which, you know, I felt really good, which I was really happy about. Like, I didn't know how much I would tax my body in the swim or what I would feel like, you know, just based off the adrenaline. Right. So that was my biggest drawback was, okay, don't let the adrenaline of the start get to you and cause you to expend a lot more energy than you want to, you know? And so I had to constantly force those thoughts. So when I came out of the water, I was thrilled. I was like, man, I had a decent time. I feel like I'm doing good and I feel great. Like, I feel wonderful. Let's go. And then the boat ramp was a pretty long run up to the transition, but I mean, I was still kind of on like cloud nine where you're thinking, all right, one done, two more to go, you know, swim's done. It's just bike and then swim. That's all you got to do. You're checking off the list. And so I come transition, I get my bag, which has my helmet in it and my bike shoes or cleats, you know, to clip into my bike. And in my shoes, I had a little bag of some, just nutrition. I had some vitamin pills that I put in there and a little bit of nutrition that coming out of the water, I wanted to hit my body with some nutrients because I can't provide those as I'm in the water. So I wanted to do that as soon as I can before I start biking, so I don't reach like dehydration and body fatigue. Mm-hmm. And then other than that, all my bottles were already on my bike. So it was just a matter of grabbing my bike, hopping on the course and taking off, you know? That's where I was. I was ready to go.
Hey, You know what? And that's gotta be nice. You have that nice mentality already set up. You've decided, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I need to keep myself calm. I need to make sure I take care of all my supplements. I need to make sure I'm ready to rock and roll. Hey, by all means, you're an Iron Man. You can have a drink.
I appreciate it.
So we're into the bike now. This is where things start to come at you and say, all right, we're going to test you. And yeah, you said mile 4?
Mile 4 or 5 somewhere. I mean, we didn't have mile markers as frequent. We had some mile markers, but it was like 20, 50. I mean, they were spaced out, you know, but I had my GPS computer, which showed me how many miles. I think it was, maybe mile 4 or 5, something like that. I'm feeling good. I'm just trying to stay, you know, loose, get the legs warmed up, not start too, you know, aggressive on the bike, because I've heard that a lot of guys, they'll start and they feel really good, and they start pounding away at the pedals. The problem is you got to go 112 miles. So you might feel good and start putting out that effort, but 30 miles in, you know, you start hitting a little bit of a wall because you're overexerting, not really pacing yourself. So I was trying to do that. And right out the gate, I just switched to a lighter gear because we had a little bit of incline and my chain fell off my bike.
Which, mind you, you brought extra equipment, you brought all that stuff. One of your bottles, everything like that, was filled with all that stuff, right?
Yeah, and well, it was fortunate, like, I was switching gears, and there was a couple guys back. They were right behind me on my left hip at the time. The reason I remember is I just passed them. I was going a little bit faster than the immediate crowd in front of me. I was kind of taking advantage of the rollers. And I was feeling good, and I figured if I could pump hard through the first 5-10 miles just to kind of build the blood flow and get the legs engaged, then I could kind of throttle back for the next 10. You know, it's kind of my game plan. And when I'm pedaling, I downshifted to start pedaling up this hill, and it went clank, clank, you know, and the guy just – he started past me. He looked at me and went, ew. He knew. In my head, it's like, I'm gonna pass you in about 10 minutes. Just let me change this real quick. But I didn't need to use any tools or anything. I just had to get off the bike and, you know, reset the chain, get it going, and then jump back on. And obviously, it costs you time, costs you momentum. It's kind of like the biggest thing. It wasn't that big of a deal, but it happened so early. Like, I mean, mile 4 of 112, right? And this is my first Ironman. And so immediately I'm thinking, man, already, like, I got 112 miles to go, and I'm already seeing the problem. Like, this is going to be a long day if this happens again. Like, this, you know, I mean, it was.
Which leads us into our next issue, your next set of adversity as far as this, you're 5 miles in, 6 miles in, whatever, 4, 5, 6 miles in. And then we turn around and we have a whole nother chunk of adversity decide it's going to slap you right in the face, basically.
Yeah, so. After that, I fixed the chain, and so we're riding, and I have 4 water bottle holders on my bike. I got one in my aero position, which is between, you know, my aero bars, one in the middle, and then 2 behind my seat on a rear attachment. And so one of those bottles on the back was all my tools and everything, my tubes and all, you know, things I needed. And the other one was a heavy, thick mixture of nutrients that I had for my nutrition. It was like 8 scoops of this energy powder mixed into a kind of a thick paste that I would take with water to get me through the 112 miles. That way I didn't need the aid stations and whatnot. So about, I don't know, 45, 50 miles in, we're going over constant bumps. I mean, we're reaching speeds of 38, 40 miles an hour, you know, at times. Sometimes we're going, you know, 10 miles an hour, 8 miles an hour up hills, but I guess because I had a cheaper mount on the back, it wore it out. And then, so both my bottles are looking like this behind my seat, it collapsed them down flat like that. And so when I hit a bump, the bottle shot out the back, and I didn't know I hurt them. So I had to turn around. I went and got the bottles. I went to put them back in, and I'm like, shoot, this is broken. So I had to make a decision at that point. And so I pretty much lost from, you know, halfway into the race, the nutrition that I had set aside myself on my bike, I didn't have for the second half of the bike because I didn't have the slots anymore. I had to use a slot for the bike tubes and CO2 cartridges and everything, because in case I have a flat, I got to be able to keep going. So that left me only one water bottle slot. And so, you know, I ended up taking the electrolyte paste, and you know, I had to utilize every aid station on the way with energy gels and what I could.
And that's that business decision that we were talking about this earlier. As far as athletes go, you have to make some kind of business decision as far as what's going to be able to get me through this and what's going to be able to give me the best chances to succeed. And that's, right. You know, obviously if you don't have your bike, you can't finish the bike ride. It's kind of a big part of it, at least based on the name, you know.
Yeah, I want to feel as good as possible, but like at the same time, it's like, well, if I have a flat, I'm screwed. So, and I mean, I still had 60 something miles to go on the bike, you know, and I'm like, it was pretty bad luck. Like, that was horrible that happened, but it's what makes all these medals. Actually, I don't even know if I showed you the medal yet.
Not yet. I know you're super proud of this thing. And yeah. See that, guys? There it is. That's the Iron Man. Right there, that's his medal from this last week. And I know we were talking about this before, and he showed this one that he was super proud of. It was a belt buckle from the Spartan.
It's right here. This is the Spartan race.
Yeah, the Spartan Ultra in Tahoe, and he was super stoked for that one. And then all of a sudden, this new one comes up, and you can see it on his face right now. If you're not watching this, you're on audio.
Yeah, this used to be the number one. The Spartan race was definitely number one. One, because it was a belt buckle, but this one, I mean, it just, there's, what makes it cool is there's more to the story, right? Because even in that one, that belt buckle, I got lost on that course, so I ran a couple extra miles, but I still finished. So that's what makes all these medals cool, is when you start looking back, each medal holds its own story. You know, I could look at this medal and immediately remember, like, man, you know, my chain fell off mile four. I lost my nutrition bottle, you know. I faced all these adversities. It definitely went off course to what I was planning. But because we've put a game plan together and kind of strengthened our, you know, mental ability, like, I was able to persevere and push forward because I'm able to overcome that adversity. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it didn't go as perfect, you know. It went pretty good leading up to the run, to tell you the truth.
Well, that's exactly where we're leaning into right there. We were sitting here talking, and I'm listening to this, and the bike ride kind of went terrible. You know, it had its ups and downs, and it ended up, actually, you said you were ahead of time, so you finished the rest of it after you've gone through everything that you've gone through, and then you turn around, and you're getting into the race, and you're getting to the run portion of the race. And now this is where everything just kind of – it's good. If it's going to peak, it peaked. This is the peak of everything that you had to go through. So,
yeah, this is when the race went from okay, you know, I'm doing pretty well, to it is what it is. That's what happened, you know, because the whole point of the race in my mind is to do the best I can do. Right, I know there's elite guys that are 2 hours ahead of me, 3 hours ahead of me. I know there's people that are going to beat me. But, you know, when I do this, I get the most satisfaction is if when I complete it, I know that, you know what, I did the best I could. There's no better feeling than that. You know, like, man, I did everything I wanted to. I set goals. I reached those goals. And that's an amazing feeling. That's what I love. And so when it came to the run, I paced out the bike on my GPS computer, and I was looking at all the times. My swim time was good, right on the mark. My bike time was good, right on the mark. So I knew I just needed to conquer this run. And about 4 miles in, my left Achilles just swelled up, and my foot got swollen. And it wasn't a fatigue pain. It wasn't, you know, like I just – tired. I wasn't tired at all, but my Achilles just couldn't bear the weight of my body. And so each step made it was so hard. Like I mean, I ain't gonna lie. It was like mile four, you know, right out the gate. So the next 20 plus miles, that might've been the most excruciating pain I've ever been in for that long of a duration, because it was like 4 hours of just enduring this pain every single step just to try to reach the finish line to get that medal, you know. And
but mind you, you still pushed and you still drove and you still went to go get that medal, because that was what was more important. You were going to be in pain either way. You were going to be hurting one way or the other, and that was the biggest thing here.
Exactly. And you know, it was already injured at that point. You know, I already injured it. I'm already in pain. So just like you're saying, I might as well go get a reward from it. I got to seek the ultimate goal that we're out here to do. Stopping or quitting the course, that's not going to take the injury away. It's not going to magically heal it. I'm not going to be fine. But it will prevent me from having this medal to tell the story, right? I wouldn't be able to tell the story because I'd be considered a failure in my book. So now I can tell the story because I pushed through.
You are an Ironman, and that's what this all comes down to. And despite the fact that a couple months we sat here and we talked about going through the Ironman finisher, exactly. And we talked about going through the Ironman, and I think this is the coolest thing, is he had a goal set for himself. It was 12 hours at the time, because majority of people finish in 13-ish hours, somewhere in there.
I don't know what they their goals are, but something like that.
Yeah, and so for you, it was, I want to break 12 just because I don't want to be the norm. This is what I want to do. And even though you went through everything that you went through, you had a great swim, and then you go through all this adversity on the bike, and then you turn around and have your Achilles decide it's done, you still finish it. What was the time again?
13:26.
That's still an incredible time for somebody who just ran, or at that point you're basically jogging, because it's got to be that painful. 20 plus miles.
Jogging would be too much of a generous term. I was moving forward. My biggest goal in my head was just keep moving the right direction. Like, that was it didn't matter the speed. I was like, we gotta go that way, we're going that way.
There's the line. That's the one I want to cross. I don't care how fast I'm getting to it.
Right. But I mean, I would tell people honestly that I think that what I did is crazy, and what these athletes are out here doing is unattainable, that it's really a perception, you know, that you hold. You think it's not obtainable because you've never tested your limits or your boundaries. You've never put yourself in that position to see if you will keep going. You know, maybe every time you get to you face adversary positions, you quit, you know. So this is a great event just to see if, are you willing to do what it takes to finish, to keep that goal in mind and reach it? Because once you establish those kind of beliefs and you get the course, I mean, it was amazing talking to everybody. And just, I'm still trying to process all the information and everything that happened this weekend because of how just amazing it was. I mean, there was probably, I mean, I live in California. The race was in California. I don't know, maybe a handful of people I met this weekend that were even from California. You know, most people were from different states, different countries, Australia, Chile, Argentina. I mean, it's a global thing. It's amazing. It's amazing.
That is incredible. And Ryan, I appreciate you coming on. We're getting to the end of our time. I got a couple minutes left. I want to make sure you get your plugs. Go ahead. Shout out. I know you got Instagram, you got Facebook. Where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me 50 Cal Fit on Instagram, or 50 Cal Fit on Facebook, or Ryan Seeley. That's S-E-A-L-E-Y, almost like the mattress, but I got an extra E at the end. And you always feel free to message me. You know, if you have an event you want to do, whether it be a 5K, a 10K, a Spartan race, a triathlon, any questions you have, if I do have any information for you, I'm more than happy to tell you my experiences or something that I can relate to what you're trying to accomplish, and you know, steer you in the right direction. I'll do whatever I can to help, for sure. And if I can't, then I'll try to find resources that are available for you so you can still accomplish that goal. And I mean, I'm just ecstatic, and I appreciate you having me on. It's just awesome to tell my story. I hope I was able to provide some kind of, you know, feedback from the race itself, and maybe influence others to step outside their comfort zone a little bit and chase a dream that's just a little bit bigger than what they have in store for themselves right now, you know?
So I appreciate that, Ryan. I'm going to give my quick things that I've got to throw in here. Battle Rattle, you guys know that they're the ones who take care of this whole channel and make sure everything here happens. Make sure that I can sit here and talk to these guys because we've got some really cool guests coming on. So be sure to go check them out. They've got their Memorial Day gift or code going on. And look, he's got his bottle opener right there. Ryan does. But they've got their Memorial Day code going on. Just type in Memorial Day and it's buy two, get one free. Do not forget them. They've got all my merch there, all the Sheepdog Op stuff like this. You can find it on their website as always. I know, Mike is out and about and doing things. We're going to get him on probably later this week with some more, topics and stuff like that. We've got some really cool stuff coming up with Ryan. We're actually going to be starting some Motivational Monday stuff where we're talking about workouts. We're talking about Instagram stuff. We're talking answering questions and things like that. So make sure you hit him up so that way we can get those questions on here. And I think I ran through that quickly. I know we got a few seconds here.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Ryan, I always love talking to you. Let me give this little outro and then I'll make sure I hit up with you as soon as we're done. All right, bud.
Yeah.
As we always do when we end these podcasts, remember, don't be the sheep in the fight, be the dog. You know, man.